if you can vulnerably observe yourself, take a sacred pause, and recalibrate, that is the gateway to more effective leadership, more effective parenting, more effective self-love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Live Into Your Brilliance podcast with me, Al Kenny, and my brother from another mother, Mark Billows, Bilby. Brother, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. I am feeling quite sun-kissed, having spent the last 3 weeks now in the gorgeous African sun. I've moved on from Cape Town. I'm up the gorgeous Garden Route. In a beautiful place called Knysna, and I'm visiting my parents who live just up the road in Plettenberg Bay. But yeah, having lots of fun. But mate, enough about my globetrotting. I'm keen to hear about your amazing trip across the pond, and some of the work you've been doing on the East Coast, because I believe you've had some amazing insights and you've been blowing up illusions left, right, and center.
Well, I don't know about left, right, and center, but I definitely had a pretty incredible week out in Washington, D.C., doing the sales kickoff for a cool company. And do you know what? It was a really special week. Special week both in terms of my experience of it. I'd never been to DC before. That's just a cool place. Seeing the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument. And then I went to this aerospace museum beside the airport. And if anyone ever gets a chance to go, it was just incredible. Had a full the space shuttle Discovery full thing in this building. It was one of the most incredible places I've ever been to. Like aircraft all the way from World War One all the way to the most modern aircrafts you can possibly imagine. It was incredible. So both from an adventure, just, and you know, that was interesting because that was a recommendation to me from a mutual friend of ours, John Abbott. And he was like, oh, if you've got time, go and check this thing out. And you know, it was the day I was coming home and I just finished the event. And so you've got a little bit of tiredness and stuff. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I'll just go straight to the airport. And then I just had the thought of, and I might have mentioned this on here before, but I remember hearing an expression, which is, if you want to live an epic life, do epic things. And I was like, so what are you going to do? And like that choice, like, what are you going to do? You're just going to go to the airport or you're going to go here to this thing? And so I just said to the guys, listen, I'm going to love you and leave you. Ordered my Uber, grabbed my case, just went and just walked around this place with my case and my bag. And it was just amazing. So it was amazing from that perspective. And even going into Washington, I had like a 3-hour window in the kind of outside of work. And I was just like, just go and walk around. And I think I've picked some of this up from your experiences, you know, when you've been in France and doing what you're doing now. It's just like, if you can be open to the possibility, it's there. And so I really saw that in the week. And then just had cool conversations with people. It's probably going to lead into what I'd love to talk about today because one, it all comes back to just the humanness of everything, but maybe there's a little bit I want to talk about, which is kind of fear and insecurities and maybe where the possibility is to have a more peaceful interplay with ourselves when it comes to those sort of things and what's on offer. So I'll tell two stories that I want to kind of talk about. One was just whilst I was at this event, the company I was with, they were going on, you know, I was doing the opening talk and I was doing the closing talk. So I was there for 2 days. And in the evening time, they were going to Top Golf, and they were going to go and have a kind of team building event, which I've been invited to. And that evening, I was asked, "Are you still coming?" And I was like, "Yeah, no, I'm probably going to go and hit some golf balls." But when I got up to my room and was reflecting, I was like, "I actually really feel like I'm going to be better served just sitting with all the information that I'd heard that day and just getting ready for the next day, because I really wanted to serve these guys well." And at the same time, I was like, well, I don't want to be seen to be either rude, or I don't want to kind of like, I don't want to be hiding. I was kind of thinking, oh, is it just me trying to kind of been a little bit uncomfortable with being with people? And at one point I went to type a text message to Alex to say, oh, you know what? I'm not going to come out. And I just had this immediate realization that, oh, this is being fearful. Like I was kind of hiding behind my phone. I was like, I don't want to be that. And so what's truthful? And I just went, I had a shower, got changed, and I got straight down to the bar because I knew everyone was meeting for an hour beforehand. And I had some great chats with people. And then they were all getting ready for the bus. And they were like, oh, what are you doing? Are you going to come? And I was like, no, you guys go have fun. I'm going to stay here and I want to get clean and clear and ready for tomorrow because I want to knock it out of the park for you guys. And they were like, that makes total sense. And they were having a few drinks and everything. It was probably like, it's probably safer. So I just went and I had a lovely evening, had my dinner, went for a walk, and the next day went really well. But I just had that clear insight on the difference between coming from your truth and coming from your fear. And there was like a total different set of behaviors, and B, a totally different experience. Because I had no, I think I said to you before, I had no breadcrumbs in my mind. Like I wasn't thinking, oh, what are they going to be thinking? Because I just owned it. But from a position of like, hey, I'm here and I'm talking. And sometimes that does knock me out of kilter. Like I can get a little bit put off by, you know, what's the right thing to do? So that was with me. And then I've come back and I was listening to a podcast yesterday morning with, it's called The Mastery Podcast with Dr. Michael Gervais. I recommend it to anybody, a super podcast. And he had Simon Sinek on. And Simon Sinek was talking about the distinction between being insecure and being vulnerable. He said, you know, let's just say, I'm going to use public speaking. I don't think that's what he was talking about. But he said, you know, someone, let's say, they felt very unsure about themselves in public speaking, and it was something that kind of got to them. It's like if they show up and they're going, there's something that I need you to know about me, and it's like hard for me to say. And he's like, it's so hard to even hear someone when they're being that way. And he said, like, there's an alternative, which someone might show up and be like, oh, what I want you to know is, like, I'm actually quite scared of public speaking, and it makes me feel really uncomfortable, and it's something that I avoid, and I'm trying to deal with it, but, you know, at the moment, it's still a massive obstacle for me. And he said, one is being insecure and the other is being vulnerable and owning it. And for me, it was like a massive insight because, you know, on Tuesday, I'm doing Lindsay Capp's EI program, which has been super powerful for me. And like every Tuesday, I'm in tears. It's like, for whatever it's proper getting to some stuff because I know it because cracks me open every Tuesday. But again, we were talking about something on Tuesday, and I was just saying I don't know what to do. I had this sounds like I don't know what to do about that. But like it caught me up so much, this not knowing, and the two things combined have just helped me see, which is I'd love to hear you. Is and with this with these three experiences, I was like, oh, on Tuesday night, what's catching me up is I've thought it's a massive problem not knowing. And so I'm really insecure about myself because that. And so I can't even be with my vulnerability. I can't be with what I'm vulnerable about because I'm so insecure. I've been so insecure about it that I couldn't even be with it. And therefore, trying to talk about it, I could barely get it out. And having listened to this, it's just opening up this perspective for me that there's a peaceful place that exists between awareness and mastery, if we want to talk about that. It's like you can be aware of, but you can totally own it. And then you don't have to be insecure about it. Like you don't have to be insecure about fears or insecure about the stuff that you've got going on. You can just be like, yeah, this is it. And I'm in it. I want to. So like my Tuesday thing, I put it back into the group. It was like, this is what it sounded like. It was like, I do struggle expressing my emotions to other people. And I would love to master that because I can see huge upsides. And I love myself just as I am, and there's nothing broken or needs to be fixed. And both of those can be true. And so I'd love to, so that's what I'm putting is the possibility is like, you know, this interplay between vulnerabilities and things we want to work on, and then actually getting totally caught up in some weird stuff or insecurities about it, which means we can't get to it. We can't resolve it. And I think there's huge possibility in demystifying that such that we can all stand powerfully in our vulnerabilities. And then it becomes a huge opportunity. It becomes a massive opportunity for us all. So yeah, and, you know, even as I'm talking about it now, like I have some weird feelings going on in the sense of like part of me feels connected to the emotion of it and part of me feels really connected to this high frequency energy of like, oh, this feels so different than it's ever felt before. So I'll stop there, brother. It's a long and winding narrative, but love to hear what that stirs up for you or what your perspective is on that.
No, thank you for putting that in the airwaves. What I heard, the thing that stood out for me most was the comment that there's this beautiful, peaceful place that exists between in the space between your awareness and mastery. And I think that's a very important message for the listener to hear, because I think there's sometimes a tendency with, you know, self-help and awareness of self and doing the self-transformation work and embracing the kind of the journey where you're like, well, one day I will master this and then I will have total peace of mind. And that's the destination. And I think that is absolute nonsense. Like, and I think we have said this before, but, you know, I think again, like, let's take a giant pile of TNT and let's strap it to that illusion and just blow that up right here, right now. Because I think you said it so beautifully that when you are okay with not knowing, when you don't have the answers, but you can stand boldly and say, I don't have the answers or I don't know, and I'm okay with that. And I love myself just the way I am with, you know, in the knowledge that I don't have all the answers and I don't have, I don't feel in control, whatever that means. Then to your point, you're owning a level of vulnerability that allows you to instantly fast track. It's your lightning path to that peaceful place because the burden has been lifted. And, you know, we've said on numerous occasions, it's like the exhaustion seeps out of you and it's no longer part of your DNA. It's no longer what strangles the breath out of you. It simply is gone because you are able to be vulnerable. And that truly is, I mean, you know, going back to our closed fist and our open hand and riding that beautiful glass elevator of awareness. Awareness doesn't mean having all the answers and seeing everything and having all the answers. Awareness is, I think the further you travel up that glass elevator, of the awareness of self. And the more you see from that beautiful vantage point, from that sort of penthouse of your consciousness, the less you actually know in terms of trying to figure it all out, and the more you just feel an incredible sense of being okay, of just being at peace, because it's okay not to know. It's okay not to have the answers. And just to bring it back to, like, you know, kind of the practice, I think this is why, you know, like a lot of teams, a lot of leaders around the world are familiar with Len Cioni's work around the five dysfunctions. And it's no mistake that the foundation of his model and the foundation of good team health is this notion of trust. And how do you build trust? Through vulnerability. And so you're not sharing your insecurities, you're boldly owning your vulnerabilities, and you're saying, I don't know, I don't have the answers, but I trust all of you, and I know that together we will figure this out. Or I know that you've got my back, and we will figure this out together as teammates, or as a team, or as mates, or as peers. And it all starts with being comfortable being vulnerable. But I think when you're insecure, I would go so far as to say, when you're insecure, you're actually, you're down here. It's closed fist, because it's fear-based, right? Like, when you're being insecure, I think that is being fed by fear, where you're like, oh my God, I can't show weakness, or I'm very uncomfortable showing weakness, and I don't quite know how to articulate that weakness, or that sort of chink in my armor, and I feel a little exposed, but I'm kind of like articulating it in a clumsy way. Whereas when you're willing to be vulnerable, you shed all of the attachments you have to the identity that you've accumulated around not showing weakness and not exposing yourself and being insecure, and you boldly stand in that place where you're going, I don't have the answers. I don't know. I need help. I am alone. I am confused, or I am overwhelmed. But I'm here. I'm here, and I am happy, and I want to do this with you, or, you know, with you the team, or with you the person, or what have you. And I think that's an incredibly powerful thing to point to for our listener.
When I heard the words, I am here, something, you know, when we talk about the lightning path, there's something about being here, like whatever that is, like I am here, strikes me as so powerful. And like I'm purposely dropping off that I'm here and I'm happy. I'm just like, for me, the powerful is like, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying. And then the lightning path to me is, I'm here in my truth, whatever my truth is in this moment. And I'll tell you what happened on Tuesday. And the reason why I say this is because in this program I'm in, there was a video clip played, very powerful, you know, and it's not for me to share the details of what was on the video, because it's not like it's not on YouTube or whatever. Very powerful video. Anyway, and we came off that and we came back into our group, and something was said, and it was, you know, very aspirational. And I was like, oh, before we move on, does anybody want to say anything? And I had this overwhelming sense of pressure. And I just said, look, I just want to be truthful. Like, I know that, I said, that video is amazing. And I hear the aspirational kind of invitation. Well, I just feel like incredible pressure. And it was like about role in family and parenting. And I tried to talk about my boys. And that's when I just said, I totally just got choked up. And that's when the tears came. I just think about my boys. And that's what led on to the insight I was saying before. Well, the reason I share that is because that was the truth. The truth was, like, I was here. I felt this incredible pressure. I didn't really know why, but I kind of did, but I just had that, like, and it was just like, I'm here and I'm being truthful. And it kind of reflects for me as well what happened to me in Washington. It's like, I'm here and I'm being truthful. Whatever that is. And that might be, I'm here and I'm being truthful, which is like, I'm feeling like really pissed off. And I'm here and I'm not pissed off with anybody or anything, but I am feeling really pissed off, or I'm feeling pressure. And that was for me. And that is that's often the thing for me, which kind of stops me, is I have that feeling of the fist, and sometimes it's so intense that I try and think about the thing to say that's going to disguise that, versus speaking to that and just being like, hey, I'm here and I'm feeling an incredible amount of pressure. And that opened up everything, but I'm really seeing that it's I'm here in my truth, whatever that is, without judgment, without expectation, without blame, but just like, I'm here. And I think whether that's in the context of teams, whether that's in the context of family, whether that's in the context of friends, or whether that's in the context of self, I'm starting to see that that's one of the gateways, is whatever your truth is, that's exactly, that's the best you've got. And you don't need to pretend anything else, and you can own it and see where it goes from there. And again, I'm learning to see that owning your truth doesn't mean it has to lead anywhere. It's like, I'm feeling incredible pressure and I don't know anything more than that. But I'm here with that, and I'm making people aware. And so, yeah, like I don't want to say more than that almost in this, because I think in one sense the lightning path can be that simple, and that's what potentially like owning vulnerability is I'm here and this is my truth.
Amy Jin Su, who we had as a guest on here, she's very quick to point out that, you know, in her parlance, the leader B, which is the fist, and the leader A, which is the open hand. Like, we oscillate as human beings between those two states, those two mindsets, all of the time. And it's not about how quickly can you get out of leader B and get back into leader A and be in this kind of all-knowing, all-seeing, aware place where you've got peace of mind. It's exactly what you've just said. It's when you're in leader B, when you're operating from a place of fear, when your insecurities and your attachments are so strong that they are anchoring you to that toxic ground, it's being able to see it and say, in your words, I am here, and be okay with that. It's when you pretend that you're not there, or you dismiss being there as something else, or you know that you're there, but you choose to ignore it and you continue to be destructive from that place of fear, that's when I think we run aground and we smash ourselves on the rocks. But it's okay to be down in leader B mode, to for your mind to be in the fist, and for you to look at that and boldly and vulnerably say, I am here. I am struggling. I am here. And that's okay. And then from that place, that, yeah, exactly. That's my truth. And then from that place, see what happens from there. Because inevitably what happens is, because you're not judging yourself and you're being curious about what you're seeing from that place of immense awareness, even though you don't have the answers, you're observing it. You're not judging yourself. There's no self-loathing. There's no attachment to past accumulations and the expectations of society and what your parents taught you to do in those situations and all that nonsense, which we just love to blow up. I mean, there's about 10 tons of TNT that we used right there. Then I think the fist gets released and the open hand starts to emerge and the sense of calm floods in and the peace reasserts itself. And like you said, like it is a gateway. It's 100% is a gateway. And I think that's why Amy in particular, she points to that as one of the most powerful things you can do is to say, if you see yourself in that place and you can vulnerably observe yourself, take a sacred pause and recalibrate, then that is the gateway to more effective leadership, more effective parenting, more effective self-love, like whatever, whichever path you want to go down.
Absolutely. And it's simple. And there's no, like, and I get it, and I've just experienced it. It's not necessarily easy. Like, it's easy to own the open hand. I'm here, and I feel great, and I love you all. But actually being strong in owning like this and seeing that this isn't the problem, this is not a problem. It's just where you're at. And I, again, a great expression that I heard recently is, do not put your future in the hands of your fear. And I was like, I freaking love that. Because when we can be with it, and let's just say it's, I'm afraid. It's like, oh, I'm here and I'm afraid right now. Or by doing that, like you totally are in your agency as a human being, as this innate intelligence, this innate energy that we are, you're in that versus putting it in the hands of your fear. You know, and that's when you were talking, that's what came to mind, because it's like, once you own it, it's the tail is not wagging the dog at that point. Like, doesn't matter what happens after that. Doesn't matter who says whatever, you know that, like, and you come back to this congruence, and whatever happens from there, inevitably, I think we feel more okay with it because we haven't put our future in the hands of our fear. We haven't put our future in the hands of our insecurities. And the antidote now, it really begins to look so simple. Like what's the practice? It's like, be truthful. Be in your truth. Like, it just, and let the cards fall where they may from there. You know, whether it's your wife, your kids, your colleagues. And that can be challenging, like, undoubtedly, because, and here's the thing that I think it's the number one thing where it's where our fear lives and thrives. It's the petri dish that if you were to look at it, you'd be like, oh my God, look at that. It's multiplying. And the petri dish is the unknown. And it's like, but I don't know what will happen if I do that. And it's like, yep, that's true. And being able to own that and be like, don't fill it with anything. Don't fill it with anything. Be with that. So I am here, and this is my truth, and I don't know anything more than that. And that's huge, because the bit that seems to catch me and a lot of people out is filling in the blank. And being like, well, trying to determine if I'm truthful, if I show up and say I'm here and speak my truth, will my team have my back? And let's be honest, brother, like the reality is in business is that sometimes the answer is no. Like sometimes, you know, people say, oh, you know, you can be totally vulnerable and you can speak your truth. And it's not always the case that teams, that people have your back. And that's the chance you run. And I guess it's worth being honest about that. Like, yeah, that's the chance you run. Like, you just show up, I'm here, and I'm being in my truth. And that doesn't mean that the world is going to, oh, you know, there's no reward on offer. Like, we're not being, I want to blow up the idea that, oh, so if I do that, does that mean I'll get rewarded by getting everything I want? Like, my team will love me for it. Like, my partner is going to just hold me close every time. It's like, no, that may be on offer sometimes, and sometimes it won't be the case. And I've got a good friend of mine at the moment who's being exceptionally brave and being in his truth. And that means that his relationship isn't going to continue. It's just, that's what's happening. And he's okay. Because he knows why, it's like, it's my truth.
And I agree with that. I mean, I don't think being vulnerable is a magic silver bullet that makes everything okay. I don't want any listener to hear that message for sure. But what I think happens when you, I have seen and experienced firsthand when you operate from that place of fear and you feed your insecurities and you don't stand boldly on in the moment and be vulnerable and admit you don't have all the answers or you don't necessarily do the hard things, whether it's, you know, letting somebody go or speaking your truth about something that's happening at home with your kids, with your partner, what have you, then you perpetuate this cycle of dysfunction. You know, pointing back to the Lencioni thing. And I'm not saying that I'm championing Lencioni as the answer to everything, but just from a kind of team health perspective at work. But when you operate from that place of vulnerability and you are open about your challenges and you are open about the things that you're not particularly good at or where you do need help or you are willing to do the hard things, or you're willing to share without oversharing and becoming a pain in the ass and a burden on everybody, then you do forge this very human connection. And that's really what we're talking about, is you're forging this very human connection, which says, I don't necessarily like that guy or that gal, but I'm starting to trust them more and more because I see that they are speaking from a place of truth and they're not trying to masquerade. They're not operating from a bucket of illusions and trying to peddle one illusion off the other based on whatever they're attached to or whatever they're accumulating. And so when you see when you see that and you see it in, immediately in another human being and you feel that profound sense of connection, then yeah, to your point, you can do hard things. You can have a divorce and it can be amicable because it's done with, actually, it's actually done from a place of love. And you and I have friends, mutual friends of ours, who we know have gone through a divorce, but they still spend a lot of time together. They still go on camping trips with their kids together because they've come from that place. Whereas, you know, another couple, I'm sure, have completely destroyed their relationship and probably taken their kids and their friends with them because they've allowed their insecurities to drive and to borrow from your phrase, they've placed their future in the hands of their fear, and that has completely owned and ultimately destroyed what was potentially a very amicable kind of settlement. And so I agree with you. Like, I just want to reinforce that point. It doesn't mean that things are going to be peachy all of the time. Like, things are going to be fucking difficult sometimes, and things are going to end really badly sometimes. But there's a big difference in things ending badly amongst people who trust each other and have immense respect for each other than for things ending badly in a toxic environment of complete dysfunction that has just spiraled out of control. And so I think there's something in that where that vulnerability feeds the trust, and the trust allows very difficult things sometimes to be done, and it also allows magical things to happen. But it all is from a substrate of something that is very healthy and very solid, as opposed to something that is built on a foundation of sand and will actually never yield anything positive.
Mm. Well, like, I think we're in total agreement. And I think what we're doing here is just pointing out some of the nuances that exist in it, which is, like, from a single person experience, the possibility is to know that this is always on offer, and that just to watch out for making it conditional. Oh, so if I show up and just own my vulnerabilities, then this. And it's like, no, it's just, this is the place where, like what we said at the beginning, that's where the peaceful existence exists between awareness and mastery. It's like, ah, this is my truth. That's okay. I'm good. And it's still true for me right now. So what will I do from here? And it's just like, that's, and it allows for you to be at peace with your experience and to continue to play. Like, the game of life is a game of mastery that has no end until we leave this mortal coil. And I think what you're pointing to is the profound power, the untold, unknown power and implication of that in the world, because we are connected to other people, which is, we don't know, and yet we see time and time again that when someone is being that, the impact on others is profound. It's felt, and therefore there's a whole different level of possibility and potential that exists. And so I think we're really pointing to the both end of that. And, you know, what does it mean for any of us as individuals? And what does it mean for us in the context of others? And it's like, there's just a, for me, it's not a just, there's a beautiful both end there. And however, the key still remains that it can only start from the I. You know, it's like, oh, I can be this regardless of anything that's going on around me. And it's like, yeah. And the possibility of that is that will create more peace for you. And it will actually increase the level of impact you can have on others. And when we get back to the I, it starts to become really simple. I love what you said. I am here.
Oh, that's our friend, old Thich Nhat Hanh. And you know, to quote one of your countrymen, and I know Brené Brown loves quoting W.B. Yeats, who I think is one of the, probably my favorite poet. I fell in love with Yeats when I was at high school, and actually went on to study Yeats when I was at University of Cape Town many moons ago. But one of my favorite poems is The Cloths of Heaven. And I think I've mentioned this to you before, but here goes. I mean, this is your fellow countryman's absolute genius. Had I the heaven's embroidered cloths, enwrought with golden and silver light, the blue and the dim and the dark cloths of night and light and the half light, I would spread the cloths under your feet. But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams. And I think that poem, and I know why Brené Brown quotes that poem as often as she does, because what she's pointing to is when you show up with just your dreams and you lay them at the feet of your fellow human being and you're willing to be that vulnerable, and the invitation is tread softly because you are treading on my dreams, then there's a natural respect, there's a natural love, there's a natural empathy that emerges. Because I don't care if you've been to MBA school and you think you're a fucking genius and you've done your MBA from MIT Sloan or Harvard or Stanford or wherever, and you think you're God's gift to the world. Or if you haven't, I mean, you know, we know Peter Bauer and Neil Murray never went to university and they, you know, they built a $6 billion company. It doesn't matter what your come from is. The truth is that we all lay our dreams at each other's feet when we come together and we try and build something together, or we try and collaborate, or we try and start a family together, or we go on a date together with the prospect of potentially having a relationship. Like, we're constantly laying our dreams at each other's feet. And the implicit invitation in that is tread carefully, because you're actually treading on my dreams. And there's a vulnerability and an openness in that, which is profoundly moving. But a lot of people don't see it, and they have their hobnail boots and they fucking smash those dreams constantly, because they are operating from a place of fear, and they walk all over the dreams of others constantly. And we see it in the world, and we don't need to flog a dead horse. Everybody can draw on their own examples of that. But I think when in spite of that, we are willing to lay our dreams down and be vulnerable and say, I don't know, tread carefully. Whether you are a sociopath or not, there is a connection that is made, and then there's a respect and a trust that emerges. That is undeniable. And that's a far better place to operate from, whether shit goes sideways or not. That's a far better place to operate from than from a place of perpetual fear and dysfunction. I would take that any day. I would rather do hard, difficult, dastardly things from that place than do it from a place where I've placed my entire future in the hands of fear.
Well, yeah, because either way, you're going to be doing hard, difficult, dastardly things from time to time. It's just like a fact. I think you're right. And again, this feels like there's a lovely both end, which is you're right. Like, we as a species really are inherently guilty often from sticking on our hobnail boots and trampling on other people's dreams. And also, our habit is not to lay down our dreams in front of others and ask people to tread carefully. And so, like, I guess I come back to the place that we have agency over and where we don't, which is we have no agency on someone else's feet, but we do have agency on what we lay down. And I love that. I love your reading of that poem because there's a gentleness to it and an intimacy to it, which is there's something so powerful and yet it is so vulnerable to do that, like to lay down your dreams in front of another and ask them to tread softly is both powerful and vulnerable, which kind of brings us full circle in many ways to where we started from. It's like that's the... To me, that is the peaceful place between awareness and mastery. It's powerful and vulnerable. Not powerful or vulnerable. It's both. And we don't need to be insecure about our vulnerabilities because we all have them. And we don't need to be insecure about our hopes and dreams because we all have them. It's like there's real power in being them. And that is like, I am here and all of me is here. My invitation is to see that and tread carefully. And you know what? I remember Al Tillery, when he was on and we asked him, you know, what would be the one thing that you would ask people to do in this world? And he was like, if all anybody thought about, if the one thing they thought was, I would be most mindful of those that I see as them being the most vulnerable, or, you know, I think vulnerable, weak in what I see, then that would have a profound impact. And I think this is where we can see the possibility of like, can we show up like that for another when they lay down our dreams? Can we be that treads softly, and can we be that is powerfully vulnerable? It's like that, and that can be a scary ass responsibility in one hand, and yet that is the greatest opportunity in my view, in my humble opinion, and I'll hold that to be true for me. And I'm not asking the listener to take anything that I say or we say as a dictation. What I always think is that it's the suggestion and everyone gets to make decisions for themselves. But that is, I'm seeing that's such a huge opportunity. It's golden. And it's like that, you know, I know we're quoting things, but it is like that Marianne Williamson quote, you know, it's not our darkness that scares us most. It's our light. And we're pointing to the light and saying, don't come back to that. Don't put your future in the hands of your fears. You don't need to. What would be your bumper sticker for today? Like mine just feels is that like, don't put your future in the hands of your fears would be mine. It's kind of front of mind for me. It feels like the place that just feels so alive for me, and that I can actually see that in a bumper sticker. If you were to add one, do you have one that you would throw into the mix?
It would be two. They'd have to be positioned on the back of the car sequentially so that they made sense. But the first one would be boldly lay down your dreams. And then the second one would be tread carefully, for you tread on my dreams.
Yeah, man. This has been one of my favorite conversations that we've had.
Yeah. Well, it's born out of, you know why? It's born out of just real life. You know, it's born out of the practice. You know, this is what we keep saying on this podcast to our beloved listener is it's all about the practice. And you, mate, are like, kudos to you. And I don't want to blow hot air up your ass because you know how much I love you anyway. But like you lay down your dreams. You got on a plane. You went to DC. You boldly lay down your dream in front of however many hundreds of people. You came from that place of just being of the I am, and you saw what you needed to see, and you experienced the lightning path firsthand, and then you've brought that back and you've put it on the airwaves and you've pointed to it for others to kind of ponder and digest and take great comfort from. And this is the practice. I think us going around the world, meeting interesting people, having these conversations, that is the practice. Because we're seeing all sorts of weird and wonderful things. And sometimes we cock it up royally and sometimes we experience something phenomenal, but it all feeds into the great unfolding. And that is so rich and so rewarding, irrespective of what the outcomes are. And so, yeah, I think that's probably why it is one of our favorite conversations, is because the practice is becoming richer and richer and the grounding is getting deeper and deeper by virtue of just getting out there and laying down the dreams.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I appreciate you, and I love how you've brought it back to practice. We're boring in our consistency on this, and yet it's like that's the cultivation right there. And so it's all about the practice. And you know, maybe a conversation. This is a conversation of the day. It's something I've been playing with. There's so little to know. Like, you know, we don't need to know a lot. It's just we all know enough, and then it's practice. And then you go deeper and you see more. You don't know more, you see more. And there's such a difference in that. Like, you don't, there's nothing more to know. Like, I'm really beginning to realize that. Oh, I know everything that I need to know in the context of this. And that might come across as arrogant, but I don't mean it that way. I mean it like more in this, an infinite amount for me to see. And that's feels very humbling for me anyway. So I love that you brought it back there, brother. I think that's maybe a good place for us to end, and wish our listeners well. And you have an amazing, I know you've got an incredible adventure lined up next week. So we will look forward to hearing all about that when we next hook up for a chat, and we can share what you've seen on your African adventures with the listener then.
Sounds good.
So, mate, all the best. And yeah, everybody, to our wonderful listener, thanks for listening. And as always, please like, comment, share as you see fit. And any questions or topics you would love for us to explore, please send them our way. But until next week, keep practicing, keep living into your brilliance. Take care. Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey, unraveling the innate brilliance within every human being. We hope today's episode has sparked new thoughts and inspired fresh perspectives. Remember, the power to shatter illusions and unleash your true potential lies within you. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite platform. If you'd like more insights and daily doses of inspiration, you can follow me on Instagram @AlKennyCoaching. Or you can connect with myself and Mark on LinkedIn, where we will share articles and perspectives about unlocking your innate brilliance. Remember, you are capable of extraordinary things. Keep believing, keep exploring, and keep shining brightly. Take care and stay brilliant.